Welcome back to Light on Conspiracies, the second part for subscribers only.
I'm here again with my beautiful new friend, Mark Bajewski, and we're talking about light and dark and how it is vital components in this game of life. And it seems like without it, we would be quite bored. So in my opinion, it's like there was a guru called Gurudev who he made a film. He was involved with film people, and he made a film that started out really happy. It was super happy through the whole film, and it ended happy. And absolutely no one went to see it because we need drama, apparently. We get bored. And so every time people complain about their lives or complain about difficult situations and so on, I believe without it, we would be super bored. So why complain? We signed up for this life here, so let's do the best of it. And I think you are a living example of how to deal with life in all its different facets. So
it's a lovely way of putting it, and I completely agree with you, because what you're actually saying is, and I'll give you for example, not so long ago I was in the village, my village, and I was sat just having a drink of tea, and the people next to me, there were I think three ladies, and they were all talking, and they all started talking about the lady who owned the shop opposite and said what a beautiful soul she was and how she helps her customers and how she's kind to people. And then the other lady said, yeah, and the lady just at the other end of the street is a good friend of hers, and she helps people, and somebody fell over and she was looking after them and did this and that. And the other person then said, oh, there is somebody else down at the other shop, and she's always helping people as much as she can. The conversation went on for about an hour, and I was sat there and I had a drink in my hand, and I was going, this is bliss, listening to a conversation of people just saying the most nice things. And you know what? I would never have been able to have that energy if I didn't know or didn't experience the energy of people being horrible and saying horrible things. How do we measure life in its fullness if we don't have the pain and suffering or the anger? If we have that, then we know when we come to enlightenment, we can truly say, wow, I'm healing, I'm becoming stronger. But without that darkness, you would just be. So I believe with my hand on my heart that this world is a world of teaching. It's a world of learning. It's a world of experiencing. It's a world of feeling. And all those feelings on our journey, which we call our life path, isn't all about happiness. If you were happy every day, I'd be sending you to the doctors worried. It is about experience and becoming stronger. The wise Buddha said pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. This is so true. So we feel it, but the secret is how long do we hold on to it? Because when you feel it, it means that your heart is open. Fantastic. But don't be suckered into that and be pulled into it. Feel it and say, okay, now what do I do with that? I become stronger than that. So we realize it's just a challenge, an experience that we have to grow from, not be pulled into. So that's why I keep saying to people, become a lighthouse. What do lighthouses do? They don't run around like crazy people. They just stand still and they shine a light. And people at the most fearful moment when the storm is there, they see that light and say, it's okay. We can see the light. Everything's fine. That's what we need to be. We all need to be a lighthouse for others. And that's how we change the world. We bring comfort and strength into other people's lives. Thus, they then become stronger, they heal, and then we clear the darkness away from people. Then they become their own light. That's how it spreads. And that's what's happening now. My God, we're all becoming so awakened now. We're all starting to realize what's right and what's wrong. Actually, I want to be this. I don't want to be that anymore. Well done. Good. So we're awakening. We're knowing now what we want in our life, and we don't want fear. We don't want anger. We don't want suppression. We want happiness. We want freedom. We want to enjoy our life. So yes, we are feeling it now, and we are awakening that inner warrior inside, not to fight, but to stand up and say no. So we are now rejecting this compliance is going. We're not complying to that now. We're letting it go, but we're doing it in a loving way. Non-compliance, but in a loving way. I'm not going to fight and scream and shout. I'm not going to go on marches saying anti this and anti that. What we're saying is pro peace. Mm-hmm. No, we're standing here because we want love, not to fight against anything. So we're changing. All of us are changing day to day, and this is why the light is the scales have tipped now. They've tipped, Ole. They've definitely tipped. It was darkness, but now it's just slightly tipping to the light now. Mm-hmm. So the scales, I saw it a few months ago, and now it's becoming more evident that there are more people saying, you know what, I'm going to stand up. I have scientists coming here. I have doctors who come here. I have people that you would never, never believe would ever enter into an academy to learn how to heal, to believe in something that isn't there. And they're starting to say, there is something else. There is something more about life. I do want to live in happiness. I do want to live free from fear. I do want to be stronger than what is trying to suppress us. So we are awakening, my friend. That's my message to everybody out there. There are more people awakened now than ever in this universe. So that is a beautiful thing. That is beautiful. And we are, you sit with somebody and you think, oh, we've probably got no in common. We should fear. We should worry. Actually, you've got a lot in common. You've probably got more in common with that person that you're sat next to that you may have never spoken to before, but now you're having the courage to, because we're all brothers and sisters, Ole. We're all connected, and we all have so much in common that we could really, really start to realize that actually we're all one. We are. You just need to sit and talk to people and understand them and feel them to realize that this world is a beautiful world filled with 99% of beautiful, kind, caring souls who want to help their children grow up, who just want a happy life and live in peace, no matter what religion that they try and say that should separate us. Forget the religion. We're all brothers and sisters, and we all want to just live in happiness. And that's what the fear, the energy of darkness, is petrified of.
I saw they did a survey, international survey, where there was a team that traveled around to, I don't know how many countries, but many, many countries, asking people what they wanted out of life. And it turned out that all of us, doesn't matter if we're Sikh, Hindu, blue, black, white, yellow, whatever, wants more or less 95% the same things. And then there's about 5% where we differ, like politics, football, religion, you name it, stupid things.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? Because when you talk about politics is, forget the word politics, just call it confusion. Because basically what that is, it's a confused energy to make people separate. Mm. It's deliberately put there so that people don't agree. Politics and spirituality are the furthest energies in the world that you can bring together. That's why it will never, ever work. You take a guru and put him into politics, it won't work, because politics is an energy to confuse, suppress, and really confuse every aspect of our being, and to make us fight one another, and to bring ego and self-power and selfishness in. That's what politics is. And that's why I dream of a world without politics.
That was a really, really good way of putting it. I never thought of it like that. I've never been interested in politics. On the contrary, I never voted. I always taken a step way far away from it. But one thing that I feel is that the people say, oh, there's so much darkness in the world. There's so much chaos. There's so much. But just like you said before, to understand left, we need right to understand up, we need down. And I think it's a matter, what we're seeing now is like there's such an awakening going on that the darkness needs to accelerate as well for us to understand it. But yeah, that it comes to a point, in my humble opinion, we're getting close to where we're going to transcend this whole thing. And I believe that it will be, I hope, that it will dissolve duality, that it will come to a point where we suddenly see, whoa, hang on. We're one. Wow. And help each other, you know. This is my intention. That is what I aim to do with my life. And I think we're very close to getting to the next level here.
That's amazing. You think a lot more in a higher and a more vast energy than me. What I try to do is help one soul at a time. And pure energy healers who become practitioners here, I say to them, help one soul at a time. And that's all we need to do. But we need, this is the beautiful thing about the world. There are people who are born into this world who have come to do certain things and have certain vibration and have certain messages. They're not the message, they're the messenger of what we need. So when you look upon this, I know quite a few people like that who do work in the background that never really say too much, but shine this light, and they have this beautiful dream, this vision of a world becoming basically filled with complete love, and they dispel the darkness. I love that, but that's their work. But there are certain people who are like the foot workers who just go from one to another and doom, 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 doom. So I love the mixture of so many different souls. We've got souls who are fighting the war against chemtrails. We've got souls who are fighting the war against bankers. We've got souls that's what I love. Individuals who say, you know, instead of trying to fight the world, I fight one cause, or I awaken, or I make enlightenment of one cause. I love that, because what happens is they focus all their energy on one thing, which is 100%, whereas many will focus on 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 things, and then it becomes dilute. It's not as strong. And the ones who really make an impact in this world are the ones who say, you know what, I'm just going to stick with one thing until I win, until we conquer it. And I love them, the ones who are specialists at one thing and focus on one thing. And I love them kinds of people. I meet them who are dedicated to making a difference on one specific subject or one energy.
I think you must love me then, because I'm like a super geek in one specific area.
Yeah.
But what I try to do is become, with knowledge, become like a sharp laser beam that I feel that it's almost like humanity has been stopped, like the Hoover Dam, you know, like if we're the water, they put a dam there. And it's said that it's impossible, but there's so much water that is now caught there. That the only thing it takes is one tiny little crack in this wall, because there's power behind it.
Beautiful.
So I'm just sitting there, not
chipping away. Yeah.
No, because if I do like this, it will have no impact. So I have no idea about so many
things. You're the person that I'm talking about.
You put me in the kitchen, I'm an absolute disaster. You put me in other areas, I'm worse, useless there. In this specific area, I am a laser beam, and I try to just say, fine, this, I feel, you know, really, I feel that this body, this voice, this whatever is put together. I'm inside it, but it's made for this. It's like a tool for this. And
you said something very interesting there, and I picked up on it. I'm useless in the kitchen. Well, my dear friends, there are beautiful people who are geared up and perfect at being able to feed you the right food, that will help you. I'm useless at this. We've got people to do that. And you, my friend, have a gift, and that gift is what you're doing. Therefore, you're not useless. You have just come here for the one thing that you're doing, and everybody around you will help you with the rest, because each of us has a gift, and that gift is perfectly, precisely put there around you to help you and give you the strength. That means that you will have a soul that comes into your life, whether it's a woman or a man, who will support you, believe in you, no matter even if they think you're nuts, but they'll be there and they'll support you, but because they're placed there purposely. And I have a belief system behind that. I believe that nobody dies. I believe that what happens is our spirit continues and we go home where we truly live. I mean, people talk about hell. Sometimes you look around you in this world and this sometimes feels like hell. I'm not so sure if there's a hell at all down there. But I feel that there is home, and home is what I believe is the most beautiful, pure energy in the world. And when we see around us that that home is around us, it is just a different energy, a different level, and some can see slightly glimpses of what's going on, that there is this other veil between the two worlds. And when we realize that, before we come into this world, we ask to experience certain things. And along that way, what we'll do is say to our family in the spirit world, I need somebody to help me who will support me, even though I'm going to be crazy, or I need somebody to help me because at the beginning I'm going to be angry, but I need somebody to support and love me. And then somebody says, well, I need to feel to be with somebody who's angry, and I need to learn how to be stronger than that anger. So can I come with you? And I need somebody who I can have a child with, but then I only need you for a short while, so then you'll have to go, and because I want that child and I want to bring that child. And that child then says, which isn't a child, it's a spirit, that one says, I need to be with somebody who can look after me, but I don't want a father figure now. I need a mother figure to help me, and that's what I want. And so it goes on. We come into this world, and all the things that I talk about, which is synchronicity, which is spirit's helping hand, was already pre-given to us by our own spirit, and everybody else shares in that experience. Therefore, once you realize that, and there's a bigger picture to life, you then don't start to get upset over stuff. You realize that this was all there. So how do I experience that? And what do I learn from that? And how do I gain what I need to feel and experience? So when I go home, okay, I've experienced that. I don't need to feel that anymore. But I believe this world is a wonderful world of experience. It is a place where we learn physically and emotionally certain feelings that we then take back to the spirit world and grow in a more light and in a more pure and a more wisdom energy.
Do you know, we met in Marbella a few years ago, where little grandmother, one of the elders in the Native American population, even though she's white, was there giving a talk. And one of the things that she said that I really loved was that we, the human beings that are living now, have been chosen by our ancestors. We are the strongest of the strong, the souls, the strongest of the strong, who have been fighting to get here, you know, to be part of this thing that is now taking place. And now here we sit being wimps and saying, oh, I don't want to. I mean, come on, it's not on. You signed up for it, deal with it. But it's, so I think, you know, time to let go of all this victimhood and whatever. You know, we're here to deal with it. And we're here. This is a fantastic opportunity that's never, ever been here before to transcend this. And I, like I said before, I really hope transcend it into the disappearing of duality, that duality will stop, and that we will just experience oneness. I don't know if that is possible, but that is my aim. Can I just tell you, I heard this beautiful thing. There's a little village, a friend of mine, he went to an eastern village in Romania. It's a village that has been, yeah, it's almost like in the Middle Ages still, you know, it's with donkeys and all of these things. But what they do once a year is they have a light ceremony where the priest in the village, he has one candle, and all the people in the village bring a candle and he lights it. And in the end, the whole village is lit. Nobody has taken the light from someone else. They just shared it, but it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. I just think that is the thing, the way to go.
But that's what's happening as we speak. That's what's happening every day. Through the darkness that tried to manipulate us, sometimes we find that that's actually being great, because it's helping us awaken even more. So that's why I'm saying I don't believe that fear will be the ultimate energy in this world. I believe that fear is now just the scales are tipping just slightly now, so that the light is becoming stronger. So I'm laughing every day, I'm happy every day, I'm seeing things more every day, even though there's silly little things that I put out there that's made to worry us. Actually, it doesn't last for too long. We continue to share more love, more happiness, more kindness. We tend to now say, you know what, I'm not allowing my government to do things for us. I'm going to do something for myself. And people are going out there doing amazing things to help people. And thus, the government will disappear. It won't mean anything eventually. It won't have any power over us, because we are saying no to it and we are taking our own power back. So I love what's happening. I see the changes. I see great people, young kids, who are becoming voices for their generation. And I'm going, yes. So, you know, it is a really, really beautiful time to live. And I'm so happy that I'm going to hopefully experience tomorrow and the following day. And whatever happens after that, I just feel humbled to be here. And whenever I go home, that's fine. I have no problem with that. I'd rather not suffer. I'd rather go to sleep and wake up home than suffer. But if I have to suffer, then I will. But like I said, for me, I don't have... Somebody got very upset with me on social media. They said that you make it so light when you talk about the moving into the light. But, you know, when people are suffering around you, it isn't that light. And I completely understood what she was saying, because when you're faced with to find out that somebody's moving into the light, and it's a shock, it's a fear, it's a worry that you'll never hold them again and touch them, I understand that. I completely am aware of that. I've lived in this for 11 years. I've had people come in here with cancer, thousands of people. I'm in hospitals all the time, all over the world. But we have to, somebody has to be stronger. Because if I go into that fear and worry, it does not help anything. So we need people to say, it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. Come and give me a cuddle. It's going to be okay. And your journey strengthens. And why do I say that? I say it because I had a most beautiful, beautiful mother who was the kindest, caring, I mean, that the church was full when she moved into the light with cancer. The church was full. People loved my mum. And the tears that I had, the knowing that people loved her because she was a kind, caring person. And I had her for 12 years of my life. 12 years. It was the best 12 years of my life. Okay? But now I have a new path that I walk. And my mum comes to me all the time when I need to help people. And she talks to me. I feel her there, and I laugh, and I feel the love of her, knowing that she's there. So I don't suffer with the loss of a family member anymore as I used to do. But that doesn't mean to say that if anything ever happened to my children or my friends, that I won't feel the pain. Of course I will. So we have to put into perspective who people are who are trying to help, which I am named a healer, but actually I'm not a healer. What I'm here to do is help you become the healer. I want you to become stronger than any issue and problem, so then you become that very healer that you are. So it is a fine line we walk, and we have to be careful of what we say. And we do understand wholeheartedly the pain and suffering that each and every one of us goes through. We must always remember that pain. We must always understand it. But then there comes a time that we have to let it go. And the quicker we can let it go, whenever that is, then we will live ultimately more at peace. And that's how I feel. So you can walk around for the rest of your life wearing black, as my grandma did when my mum died, and suffer all her life till she went a little crazy. Or you can let it go, accept it, move forward and have a new relationship in a spiritual manner, so you can feel them, you can smell them, you can hear them, and you can talk to them.
I saw a French documentary about a very, very brutal double murder in Canada. It was a young couple, two teenagers that had been sitting on a bridge, a girl and a boy. And there were two prisoners that had escaped, and they got hold of these teenagers and raped the girl and killed them both, dropped them in the river. Brutal. So this TV crew heard of it, and they went there and they interviewed the parents of these two children. They were only like 14, 15 or something like that. And the boys' parents said, hang them fuckers, you know, cut them up and burn them on a stake, you know. The girls' parents decided on the same night as they heard that she was that she had been brutally murdered and raped, that they would not let hate get to them. They would be grateful for the gift of her being in their life for 14, 15 years, and they would do everything to honor her life in love. So this documentary, you follow the two sets of parents, sort of, and the two prisoners, they were caught very, very quickly and put back in prison and so on. And there was a court case, and while waiting for the court case, the parents of the girl started writing to both of these two criminals. One of them freaked out. He thought, my God, they're crazy, and he didn't want to hear him. The other one got totally confused, because he was like, why don't, you must hate me, you must be angry, you must, why are you writing to me like this? And, but they kept on. The hardened one, he just stayed the way he was. But the other one, it got to him and it made a crack in him, you know, through this, it just like always, he was a victim himself from his experiences and so on. And in the end, they're sitting there in the courtroom, smiling at this man, you know, waving to him and so on. And they got sentenced, I think, to I don't know how many years, and they went to prison. But he started painting, he started writing poetry, he totally changed as an individual. And the documentary ends when the parents come and visit him for the first time in jail, where they hug everybody crying, the jail wardens are crying, the TV crew are crying. The power in this. And I just thought it was an amazing message to see these are the options. In this was the most difficult situation ever. There is always a choice, and the choice is yours.
And how we look at any given situation is how we can change any given situation. In this case, you're talking about parents who made a choice and then maybe had a look at what that child, what that man or that boy had done or gone through in his life to be that person. And then you can see that, I mean, it's like anything. I mean, you look at my life, I was bullied. I was bullied so bad by one boy. He bullied me, punched, kicked every day. It was awful. And the day that I left, I couldn't wait to leave school. And then a few years went by and I had my little son with me and I went to the park. And I looked across and I saw this man who bullied me for so many years. And the fear came into my body, but then I became stronger and thought, no, I'm a grown man now, don't worry. So I went there and I went to the swings and he had his daughter. And I said his name, hi, said his name. Anyway, we both started pushing our children on the swing, and then we went and sat down and he hung his head and he said, I'm sorry, Mark, I'm really sorry. And I said, well, you know, that's really kind. And he said, you know, and he opened up, and basically what had happened in his life was, as a child, he was orphaned because his mother and father rejected him. He was placed into a home, and in this home he was abused. And he told me the story about each time he went into foster care or foster home, he was abused. And when he came to school, he used to see a young lad who was happy and laughing, and he hated that because of his life. He knew I was happy with my mom, and I was confident and happy and strong, and he saw everything that he wanted to be. So he didn't want to see that, so he hurt me. And I cried because I realized then that what he'd been through and what he'd done to me wasn't a personal thing. It was through what had happened to him. Therefore, I was able to let it go that day and know it wasn't me that caused the pain and suffering of him to hurt me. Like I thought every day, why is he doing this? What have I done to hurt him? But now this day of all those years have now just dispelled, and we gave each other a hug, and that was it. My life changed at that point as well.
But also the strength you gained going through these experiences.
Exactly.
And the empathy, because I think sometimes empathy is the thing we can learn from situations, you know, so that now you have a feeling and understanding for somebody who is being hurt or bullied. You totally can understand it right away. Without your experiences, you wouldn't.
Everything that you're saying is 100% correct. Every single action, every single pain, every single challenge, every single test has made me the man I am to be able to stand here. And when somebody walks through that door and says what they say, I can smile and say, it's going to be fine, because I feel and I've been through it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why we're all here, mm-hmm. to help one another. We've just lost that, but we are regaining it every day.
Do you know, when I grew up, my dad was a former military guy, and we said that we didn't have a dictatorship, we had the dictacracy. I don't know, we made up a word, but sort of like we were allowed to do whatever we wanted as long as we did as he said, you know. And then he had this, he never hit us, but there was always this feeling of this fear around him because of his anger and so on. And I remember, because I came to a point where I felt, you know, I didn't hate him, but I felt I've learned nothing from you. I've learned absolute zero. But then I came to one day when I thought, my God, I learned a lot, because I know exactly what not to be, how not to be.
And so, it's such a common, this is why I'm saying we're all so connected. We all are learning the same thing. My father was a military man, and his three escapes from concentration camps, and him being a second lieutenant in the war in tanks, being in charge of 100 tanks, this guy has obviously killed many people. He's been through the most terrible, terrible time that I would not want anybody to go through, war. This guy then becomes a father of four children. This guy walks through the door every day after work, and he's angry, and he hits and abuses his children. Every day when that door opened, we were shaking. My mother went through the pain and the suffering of this man trying to always want to hurt us, that she took that pain and suffering, and it went into her stomach and turned into cancer, and she died. My dad did terrible, terrible things in this angry military way. He didn't have love in him. He had lost that ability because of what he'd been through. But do you know what? The day he moved into the light and my sister stood up and started speaking about his past, she said something very interesting that changed the way I saw my father and everything. And she said, when my dad came to England, his dream was to become an electrician. So he went for a job and they turned him down. And because he was so proud, he just went for anything. But his dream was to be an electrician. But he went for another job, which was a fine job. It was looking at materials, and it was called a finisher. So materials would come to him and he'd check the materials, but it wasn't his dream. So he got this anger and frustration of going to work that he hated, but he worked and came home and took his frustration out on all of us. And I just stood there thinking, I never knew that. So now I know why he was so angry and frustrated. And do you know what? What made me laugh? When I turned 16, I had more than 30 or 40 jobs every month. And it used to drive my father insane. And he used to say, stay with one job. And I used to say, why? I don't like it. And he got so angry. And then I realized why. Because I'd broken the mold of my father. Mm-hmm. Therefore, my children now, I love. I have never raised a hand and never wanted to and never needed to. I tell them I love them every day and say to them, whatever you want to do, you go and do it. Therefore, I broke the mold of my father. Therefore, I have experienced what I needed to experience and become stronger than.
Exactly. Learning how not to be. And after I saw how much I learned from him, how not to be, then I started seeing, my God, I learned a lot of beautiful things as well, but I couldn't see them because I was so in sort of like aggression and hate towards him. But do you know when his empire was broken, his empire of fear, it was ridiculous because he, when he was around 70, something happened to him and he ended up losing his leg. They said his leg. So this military guy who his whole life has said, whatever, as long as I don't end up as a vegetable, ended up as a vegetable more.
Exactly.
So humility in the chair. So he was in a wheelchair, but he still had, I mean, I was like 30 and with three kids. And one Christmas, he was in his 70s in a wheelchair and he still had us by the balls with his bad temper. Ridiculous, ridiculous. But we were in this fear grip, you know.
Yeah.
My sister's daughter, she was only 3 years old and she was naked, running around, playing around in his apartment.
Yeah.
And he was like, he didn't like noise and so on. So when she came running, playing, very happy, he just pointed at her like this and said, be quiet, you know, like this.
Wow.
And all of us, the rest of us, right? Like, whoa.
Yeah.
And do you know what she did? She just stopped and she pointed right back at him saying, back off, old man. You know, with her whole appearance was just pointing back at him saying, back off, old bugger. And he was sitting there pointing at her, you know, like, be fearful. And
No fear in her.
And everything crumbled for him because we were all witnesses to the whole thing. That minute, his empire of fear broke. And she just, after that, she just ran off laughing, playing, didn't know what she had just, she had put a bazooka in his ear and just.
Children are here to teach us.
Whoa.
Do you know, my father, the last time my father hit me was when I spilled some milk and I turned and looked at him and I said, he went like this because he used to do this before he hit me. And he hit his hand went like that. And I just turned and I looked at him and I said, just look at yourself. Look at what you're doing because of a little spilt milk. Look at you. And I turned and that was the last time he hit me. When I was strong enough to just say to him, no more. And you know, the days, the months, the years went by, and as a loving son, you want to look after your parents. You want them to love you ultimately. You want them to hug you, and you dream of a day that they'll say, I'm proud of you. I love you. You're amazing. But the day came when I realized the more I tried to help him, the more angry and aggressive he was. And that day I was in my van. I used to have a white van and sat in the white van. And I don't know why, but I just started laughing. And I said, you know what? There's nothing I can do to make this man ever be any different. And he is who he is. Do you know what? I accept the man for who he is, but I will no longer try anymore to want him to change or to try and help him. I'm going to accept him for who he is, and now it's going to be arm's length and small doses, and that changed my life because I accepted him for who he was, but I would never again allow him to try and make me want to change him because he is who he is, and I could never get that love from him, and I accepted that, but I accepted him for who he is. Now, the little things in his life sometimes used to trigger off. And when I was asleep, when my mum died, he used to come in the room just before he went to work into my bedroom and kiss me on my forehead. Only do it when I was asleep.
Wow.
So let me tell you, it doesn't matter how angry, how aggressive, how abusive somebody is, deep inside their heart, they can still love you as much as you want them to love you, but in their own way. So it doesn't mean that because he never showed the love that I wanted, doesn't mean that he didn't love me as much in his own way.
Also, my dad was a lieutenant as well, and in the underground movement. And the thing was that these people came back from war. They didn't get help. There were no psychologists. There were no treatment, mental, nothing. Just deal with it. Thank you very much. Yeah. You've just done all of these things and messed your soul up and all of that. You're back and you're on your own, mate. So just get on with it. And, you know.
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah. They had to deal with a lot. Who are we to know? Who are we to judge? Who are we to say anything? We know nothing. If we were in a war like in Syria and these places, you know nothing unless you're in that war. And this is what it is. We have to learn to try and understand deeper than what our brain just tells us we see.
Mm. I also thought it was really interesting that it was an electrician that he wanted to be, because an electrician is the one that turns on the light when it doesn't work, you know.
I think that's what he wanted.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know, I heard somebody say that it's not easy to be enlightened if you can't pay the electric bill.
You know, ultimately, you know, people often say to me, you know, why are you so happy? And, you know, it's probably because, you know, you're doing well for yourself and everything's okay. But, you know, it isn't about that, because I sit with, you know, I've sat with thousands of people who have been multi-millionaires, if not billionaires, and they're the saddest people in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing to do with money. It's to do with how you feel that your life is at any given moment. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm happy, but I don't know why. It isn't, I know it's not because of the money, because now, before I was on this path, I would not go out to a nightclub unless I'd got £200 or £300 in my pocket. So if I had if I had £400 or £500, I'd feel a man. I'd feel I am successful. Now, if I have €1 in my pocket for an espresso, I'm the happiest man in the world. Just a euro, get me an espresso, I'm happy. So I change my value to money, to what success is. And success to me, ultimately, is getting to the top of your mountain and feeling happy with yourself and what you've achieved in life of helping others and shining your light the best you can. That's ultimately my belief of success.
Mm.
I just feel happy with life now, and I don't know why. I'm just happy, you know? And I think that's a really nice sentiment. I don't know why I'm happy, but I'm happy. Why do we need things to be happy? Why do we need this to be happy? I don't. I'm just happy, and I don't know why. That's ultimately the most powerful place to be, I think.
Mm. But don't you feel also that on this awakening, it's just such a strange word, and at the same time, very good word, awakening out of the dream, because it's almost like, was it Cinderella? No, who was it? The other one who fell asleep, you know, with a poison.
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty. It's almost like humanity has been stung by this apple and gone to sleep, and we need a kiss to wake up, you know, like your father's kiss in your forehead or something like that to break.
Love. It's love. It's ultimately love. That's all it is. Love awakens everybody in the end. It's whether you allow that love into your life.
And also accept it in the forms that it comes. Just like your dad, maybe you wanted hugs and big words. He couldn't do it. He didn't have the capability, being damaged the way he had.
Exactly.
To do it like that. But I think that kiss when you were asleep, which you weren't, was so symbolic.
It was. Yeah. It was the foundation of me being able to say my dad was my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, my friend. For me, life now is more of a simple journey rather than a complicated one. I take one strand at a time and fully focus on that one thing rather than multiple things. So everything in my life, I try now to find my peace at any given moment. Any situation that tries to confuse me or cause issue in my life, I reject it and walk away from it. So I try to find my balance through my my feelings and my thoughts daily. I don't believe in force energy. I don't believe in telling people what they should and shouldn't do. I believe that if you have a message to give somebody, then this universe sees that and says, this person needs this person now. And that's how I see it. If nobody comes to me, it means that I need to work on myself. So that's ultimately how I see all of us. We're all ultimately radiators and drains. Sometimes we give, sometimes we take. Sometimes we are filled with love, sometimes we are filled with pain and suffering. This is the journey that we're on. So they call it a roller coaster, which it is. It's always a roller coaster. But ultimately, if we can try and make that roller coaster a little bit more even and smooth, then that's ultimately the path for me. I would like to be able to now, in this part of my journey, become stronger than the waves, which means that I create my own feelings of this up and down. So if I go down, it's because I've created that. If I stay at an even pace and just say, okay, this is happening, there's a problem, but I'm not going to let it take me down. I'm going to be stronger than any given situation. That to me is ultimate power of my path and my journey. This is why I don't fight. I don't get involved in issue. I don't say, oh, this is terrible. Come on. I just say, is what it is. And then I ask myself what I can do to make a difference. Can I make a difference in any way? And that's what I do. I don't look at the issue. I look for the solution. I look for a way to try and change the energy so it becomes lighter. If there is darkness with a conversation, I'll bring in lightness and a joke. If there is a pain and suffering around me, I will do my best to help eliminate that pain and suffering as best as I can without interfering. So I do understand the balance of life is positive and negative, good, bad, light and dark. I understand that. But as long as we all just do our best, I believe ultimately that's why we're here. Just to do our best.
Don't you think also that just by studying yourself to see that what causes reactions in you, that shows where you need healing?
Absolutely. When I talk about karma, it isn't the way that the gurus talk about it. My impression, my understanding of karma is how you treat me is your karma, and how I react to how you treat me is my karma. So if you shout and scream at me, then I know that your karma needs to be healed. And if I scream and shout at you, then I know that I have to heal my karma too. But if I don't react and send you away with love and say, I hope everything's going to be okay, then I know my karma is good. That's how I see karma. Does that make sense?
Total sense.
So, yeah, I think it's so wise not to point fingers. I think it's so wise not to attack or accuse or to knee-jerk. I think it's so much wiser for your heart and soul and spirit and your health not to react, but to try and make a difference in the best you can for yourself and for any given situation. So sometimes that means that your family members can say horrible things to you, and you can say, do you know what? I think it's time that I am not going to be an emotional punchbag for my family who keeps doing what they're doing. So now I'm going to wish you the love, and yes, you're my family, but it doesn't mean that I have to get punched every time I see you. Bye-bye. And you send them away with love, and you create a life and a world filled with more happiness than confusion and issues and problems. And this is what I try and share with people. Many people say, yeah, but it's your family, you should, and you've got to help them. But sometimes stepping away and walking away makes them start to, it's a little bit like a husband and wife, and a husband screaming and shouting at his wife. The wife can scream and shout back and tell him what he's doing wrong, Or she can say, do you know what? This screaming and shouting at my husband isn't making a difference. I'm just going to say nothing. So then he says, why are you saying anything? And she says, because I think you're going to have to figure this one out for yourself. She walks out of the room and goes, what does he do? He now is in the energy of thinking, why has she just done that? And now he's asking himself for the first time. So when women come here, I said, don't scream at him. Just walk away. And by walking away, he has to now ask himself. He has a choice. He either still carries on screaming or he asks himself, why did she just do that? Why isn't she screaming and shouting anymore? And thus that sometimes changes everything. So walking away isn't always a coward thing like people would like you to believe. Sometimes walking away allows that other person to experience and understand and try and make sense of what they've just done to cause that reaction.
You know, one beautiful thing I think I've seen in different areas is when there's been soldiers attacking their own population or SWAT teams and so on, where women and other people have come out and brought mirrors, and instead of weapons, what they do is they hold up the mirror and just say, listen, my son, are you really, really proud of yourself here, just about to shoot me in the face or hit me with something hard? Is this really why you signed up as a soldier? These, where they're doing nothing. I love nonviolence. But the power of nonviolence when it's done in the right way, when the only thing you do is hold up and show the person, just like you said about with your dad, and, you know, look at yourself.
I think that's ultimately the most powerful thing to do. And sometimes walking away is actually holding a mirror up to somebody.
That was what that was my point.
And it's a beautiful point you make. And the mirror expression is something that I always, always try and give to people. Don't look upon others to be your guru. Here, take my mirror. Look at yourself. You are your guru. And that's what we all have to realize. When we focus our energy on the gurus, then all we ever do is focus energy on guru. Whereas when we say, I am the guru, and that isn't ego, that's saying I have something to give, I have a voice, I have a spirit that's here for a reason. So we make a mistake in life, we look up to people wanting to be like them, when in truth what we've actually done is pushed aside who we are and replaced it with somebody that we think is more important and more special. That is ultimately a really bad thing to do, because all they're doing is they've found themselves and they're shining their light. And what they're saying is, hey, don't look at me, but this is what you can be. Be your light. So we tend to sometimes, you know, I had a lady who used to come to me all the time she was from India, and she used to bow down and go down on her knees, and she used to call me her guru. And ultimately, I couldn't see her anymore because she could not stop doing that. And I said, why are you doing that? And then I realized that in India, a lot of people need gurus to help them in life. But so for me, I find that very, very difficult when somebody starts saying things like praising me. No, don't praise me. Look at yourself. My message wasn't for you to praise me. My message was to look at yourself and praise yourself and see who you are. So ultimately, a guru to me is somebody who turns that mirror right at you and say, don't you dare look at me or bend down and kiss my feet or want to touch me. Look at yourself. You are your guru. So in modern day times like I live, I try and make everybody become their guru and never, ever follow me. Stand by my side. Let's walk together. Share with me your gift and your wisdom in here like they do. In 4 days, they show me who they are, and I learn more from them than they do from me. So ultimately, we have to have that beautiful understanding that we are all equal ultimately, no matter what we're going through or how we feel.
Yep. Also, this guru thing being put on a pedestal is quite dangerous.
Hugely.
Because up there, and then suddenly comes the you know.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have we fallen because of gurus? How many times do we fall because we put people on a pedestal? Look, I mean, all we need to do is look at Obama. Oh, he's going to change the world. No, he isn't. You know, these kinds of belief in one person is a dangerous thing. And that goes back to anything that stems back right down to your very path that you walk. You look at a man that you want to fall in love with, you want to live with him, and he's perfect. They come to me and say, I've met this man, he's amazing, he's good. Whoa, 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 slow down a minute. Hang on. You're already putting him on a pedestal. But what happens when you find out he's just normal and he's got issues and he's got problems and he might be angry and he might drink and he might do this and he might have all these things? What are you going to do then? You're going to feel terrible and you're going to then not believe in life anymore and that everything's going wrong because wrong people come into your life and they're all bad. No, you created that by your thinking that this person is the most perfect person to save your life. No, no, they're not. Work on yourself, find your own love, work on your own power, believe that you are the most beautiful soul in the world and whoever comes into your life to live with you is the luckiest person in the world. Work on that energy, be the most beautiful person you can be, and then you get this equal energy of somebody coming into your life, and then you start to love that person. Why? Because you love yourself. How can you love somebody else when you don't love yourself? How can you ultimately feel joy when you haven't joy in yourself? I'm waiting for this man or this woman to come into my life to make my life complete and happy and filled with joy. No, that's not how it works. I need to find this guru to help me be what I need to be. And you are the guru. It's not what you're thinking. It's not what you're thinking. That won't change our life. It doesn't matter how many gurus you see. It doesn't matter how many places you go in the world. It doesn't matter. You'll always come back to yourself and you'll always realize in the very end that only you could be that very guru and only you could be that love in your life. That's how I see it.
Don't you think the guru is a bit of the same quick fix type of mentality?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. But I don't believe that the guru set out to be that, because a lot of gurus that I've met, they say that some people actually need somebody to help them feel and experience and all that. But ultimately, I really struggle with the guru energy completely. I mean, I've heard so many stories about gurus, how they're amazing and how they are, and people will take from that and they'll grow from that. But ultimately, I think the guru, a true guru, is one that always helps people become their most powerful energy, their most unique and beautiful gift. That to me is like a guru. But I consider a mother, a nurse, a doctor, somebody who works with elderly, they're all gurus. We all have a gift. We all have wisdom. We all have deep knowledge to share with everybody. So when we realize that we're all ultimately gurus in a sense, that we can dispel this energy of putting people on a pedestal to fall, because we know so many gurus, we found out that they've done very bad things, and you know, you probably know as much as I do about that. But do you know what? The day that people come to this center and they learn all about pure energy healing, and after 4 days they get a certificate. And it says, you are now a pure energy healer, blah, blah, blah. And I look at them all and I said, now, the day you tear your certificates up is the day you will truly understand what healing is. And some look confused and some totally understand. It's not a piece of paper that makes you who you are. You make who you are. And that's the power within you. Not a guru or a piece of paper. Because ultimately, if you look at a guru, you will only ever get to that level. And a piece of paper, you will only get to the level of the piece of paper. But when you tear it up and get rid of your guru, then ultimately you are open to the most amazing power within you, which is ultimate awareness, and it is infinity. The power that we have is incredible. And it breaks my heart when people only believe in themselves to this much as a piece of paper. Oh, I've got a PhD now, and this much now. Throw it away. You're worth much more than any of that.
Listen, Mark, I really, really, really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing this time with us and sharing your experience along the road and the things that you have learned. And I know it hasn't been easy. And I feel the former pain in you that has now disappeared. And I salute you in what you have managed to accomplish. Thank you so much. And bless you, brother.
Bless you too, and thank you for trusting in me and believing in me to have me on this show. I love you too with all my heart, and thank you for your friendship. Long may it last.
Thank you so much for listening to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Take care and see you soon.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize.
Coup d'etat in slow motion. Connecting the dots between the assassinations of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, JFK, Robert Kennedy, and John Lennon. Now available on Amazon and LightOnConspiracies.com. Coup d'etat in slow motion.